You're listening to Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And a very pleasant good Saturday morning to you. Welcome into our first in-season edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner after week one of the high school football season. Last night, got three football coaches joining us today. Sports Director Daniel Versteg with you. Glad you're tuned in. Coming up on this program, Lamar's Community Head Football Coach Ken Vigdahl will join us. He'll be joining us right after this upcoming commercial break. The Bulldogs were able to get a big 41-13 victory over Sergeant Bluff Luton on the road last night in Sergeant Bluff. You were able to hear that game right here on KLEM Radio last night. Unfortunately, no video stream, so there's not an easy way for you to listen to the archive back, but of course, listen to our chat with Coach Ken Vigdahl. He'll fill you in pretty good all about the game. So he's coming up in just a little bit. Following him is Galen Catholic head football coach Jeremy Schindler. Boy, it was just not the Jays' night last night. A 10-0 loss to the Hinton Blackhawks. Galen came in ranked number 9 in Class A football and allowed a field goal in the first quarter. And, man, they had a chance to get on the board in the second quarter, didn't, and then Hinton took advantage, scoring a touchdown there late in quarter number 3. So a good win for the Blackhawks, of course. That's good for Coach Harderson, but not so great for Coach Schindler and Galen Catholic. So we'll be talking with Coach Schindler about that ball game. And something new we're going to be doing here on the Coach's Corner, at least throughout the football season, is we're going to be joined by one of our other area Plymouth County head football coaches. So want to try and get them on more regularly because we were previewing their seasons the last couple of years. Want to make sure they are on more regularly as well. So joining us here in our last segment of the coaches show, it's going to be Kingsley Pearson head football coach Dean Norris. The Panthers, 27-7 victor over Alta Aurelia. Allowed a touchdown early. Offense was slow to get going, and then they got going. They definitely got going. 27 unanswered points for the Panthers last night against Alta Aurelia. So lots of great things to talk about with Coach Norris, and we'll do that to basically finish out the program. It'll be our last interview of the coaches show. Let's take a look at the other Plymouth County scores before we get Ken Vigdahl on the line. In Class 8 player, District 1, 8th-ranked Remsen St. Mary's defeated Harris Lake Park. That's, of course, a non-district contest, 28-7. So the Hawks are now working on a 14-game winning streak. Great start to the year for Coach Osterman. We'll make sure to get him on at some point as well. Teams in Class A, District 1, Hinton shutout win over 9th-ranked Galen Catholic. Mentioned that, 10-0. Ridgeview defeats Akron Westfield in John Sievert's first game as the head coach of the Westerners. Man, what a battle it was. 7-6 in favor of the Raptors. And this one just didn't go MMCRU's way. My goodness, Cherokee got up big early. They were up 32-9 at half and end up winning the ball game 51-23. Much better second half for Coach Oswald and the Royals, but that first half got away from them pretty quickly. And then, of course, we mentioned Kingsley Pearson defeated Alta Aurelia 27-7, and we also mentioned this as well. We'll mention it again. Lamar's 41, Sergeant Bluff Luton 13 last night. Of course, many other scores. Of course, all the scores in every other in the districts that represent Plymouth County, 8-player District 1, A District 1, and 8 in Class 4A District 1. And then we've got some smattering of scores from other Northwest Iowa districts and groups and things like that. So check that out on our website at KLEM1410.com. Under the sports tab in the drop down menu, click on sports scores and results. Well, you've heard enough of me, so let's get the coaches on. Ken Vigdahl, head coach of Lamar's Community Football. He joins us after this commercial break here on KLEM Radio.
When you want to show appreciation for someone's generosity, kindness, or achievement, Dryco Products Incorporated can assist you with a wide selection of high-quality recognition products. Go to www.drycoproducts.com to see examples of the complete line of displays, building directories, employee tenure, wall of fame, memorials, sales performance, education, medical, faith, military, and much more. Dryco Products is your source for personalized gifts, such as Bible covers, wine glasses, picture frames. Almost anything is possible to personalize. Contact Dryco Products for more ideas. Dryco Products online, www.drycoproducts.com.
Ask an Enterprise Financial Advisor Michael K. Rulin about the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. It's a personalized, flexible, step-by-step approach toward financial balance. Call Michael K. Rulin, Financial Advisor, Certified Financial Planner Practitioner, Ross Rulin, Associate Financial Advisor, or Sam Van Wettering, Associate Financial Advisor at 546-9525. Office is located at 129 Central Avenue, Southwest Lamar's, Iowa. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we are back on this first in-season edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner, brought to you by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. Joining us on the line, the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. That's Coach Ken Vigdahl. After a great 41-13 victory over Sergeant Bluff Luton, we were just chatting about it a little bit before we got Ken on the line. And, you know, I guess we'll have plenty of time to talk about some of the great stuff for you guys. But, Coach, I think it was just kind of week one, it was hot, it was, you know, all these things, and the offense got kind of a slow start on the season with a couple of punts and a fumble there in the first quarter.
Yep, and that's, you know, that's how kind of game ones go in the first half, you know what I mean? It's all new, it's just like you said, it's hot, it's for real, it matters, it's all these things, and you know, offenses are, you know, over the last couple of years, ours, you know, this first game, it always takes everybody just a few series to gel, you know what I mean? So, but once we started gelling, we were able to really get some points on the board. And, you know, defense helped us get a touchdown there. And, you know, Giovanni did another Giovanni thing by breaking records. And, you know, so everybody got involved. So everybody got points on the board last night for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, we were talking about that during our post game with Gabe. I mean, it was all three facets of the game got going for you. And so I want to ask you, you know, you have those first three drives, you don't get a first down, you have a turnover in there. And then your next drive, once you get the football back, you know, Tegan finds Bo for six, and you got a first down in there, you got past the 50-yard line, all these things. What changed? Was it just kind of the guys had to settle in and be ready to play a football game?
Well, they've traditionally played that forefront, you know what I mean, that we talked about on pregame and stuff. And so they actually came out and ran a true three front against us. Mm. And, you know, we had gone over a three front on Monday, but you kind of put that on the back burner because it's like, you know, traditionally they don't do that. We're going to stay with that four front. But they came out and they ran that 3-4, and, you know, it looks like they've got a ton of linebackers standing up because there's eight guys standing up instead of, you know, when you're in a four front, there's only seven or six, right. You know. And so hats off to our offensive line. You know, they picked it up on Monday. We didn't do a lot with it Tuesday and Wednesday, and those guys came out, and did it take two or three series to kind of get going? It did, but, boy, once they picked it up and understood what that three wanted to do, and, you know, it's not just three front, it's three front slanting and this and that and everything else, and, you know, I'll say our both sides of our line, defense, offensive line, I thought played great football last night.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely want to talk to you about your defensive line here coming up in this program as well. But I also want to ask you, if I were to have told you before the game that you would have had 125 yards passing and only 7 positive yards rushing at halftime, would you have believed me? Was that going to be your game plan, or was that just kind of how your offense had to move the football last night?
That's just how we had to move it. It was, you know, I think one thing that, you know, we kind of laugh about as a group of coaches is the evolution of football. You know, we don't have that one guy that carries the ball 100 times, you know, 30 times in a game. And, you know, it's you're going to run belly right or belly left. And, you know, like with the offenses are built today, and ours is too, you know, if they do take the runaway, we're able to pass the ball. We're able to get the ball to our playmakers. And really, that's how offenses are really built anymore. It's not, you know, we're going to run the wing T, and we were a trap team and a buck team, and that's what we do, and we don't care what happens. And we don't care what kids we have coming up, that's what we do. Well, it's just not that way anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you're running, you know, for us, we try to get the ball in our playmakers' hands just like every other sport does and let them do their thing, like Bo getting deep last night and Tegan running. And, you know, I thought we saw a lot of growth during the game out of our two running backs there that alternated series and stuff. And so all those things just helped us, you know, get that 41 points.
We're talking with Ken Vigdahl, the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. You know, you'd mentioned your offensive line, and I think, you know, Gabe's obviously better at pointing some of this stuff out than I am, but he pointed out how it seemed like it was tough to run the ball, maybe because of some of that, you know, youth on the line, and he highlighted, I think it was Asher Moss and Aiden Kramer on that left side. Could you see them really starting to come into their own, especially, you know, maybe late in that second quarter, early in the second half, when you guys were able to finally start running the ball consistently with success?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was one of those things that all five of those guys just got comfortable with knowing who we're blocking, and then you play fast, and then you play physical, and then, you know, you could just see us, and then our inside zone went from the first half of getting maybe 1-2 yards to, oh, now it's 5 yards, now it's 7 yards, now it's, you know, break. Now, all of a sudden, Tegan's keeping the ball going around the end, pitching it to our W out on the edge. I mean, so it was just kind of nice to see them take over the game and be physical. And, you know, we love to say that we're a run team first, but, you know, we're a team. However we can move the ball, we're going to move the ball. Last night, like you said, we had to pass the ball early on in the game to move the ball. And then, you know, in the second half, we were able to, you know, there's a million different terms anymore. Now we worked on our 4-minute offense for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when there were 7 minutes left or 8 minutes left, we wanted to chew a bunch of that time up with our offense. So, you know, defense doesn't have to worry about, you know, getting out there and having a score put on them or whatever. So we keep the, you know, margin. And like we talked about just before we went on, mm-hmm. is it was like we were one score ahead.
Right.
Can we keep that? Then we were 2 scores ahead. Can we keep that? There were 3 scores ahead. Okay. You know, and then we were just able to control the ball. And once you can control the ball offensively, you know, you know that good things are happening.
Could you tell defensively, I want to talk about them too, obviously. Could you tell, you know, that drive that ended in a fumble for you guys and gave them really good field position in the first quarter, and then you only hold them to a field goal? Could you tell that, you know, the defense was going to be locked in for the game from that drive on? Because after that, I mean, it was the big play for a touchdown and then, you know, a field goal the rest of the night.
You know, we've talked about our front six, you know, all yep. preseason, and we got a lot of veterans in that front six and stuff. And so, you know, you're right. You know, getting to 3 and not getting 7 was a big boost, because like you said, we fumbled, put them in a bad position, and they came away with 3. You know, now with Giovanni, we can get it to the 40. He kicks it. We've got the game, you know, handled with 3 on 3. So it's one of those things that, you know, but you just saw them all night too, getting better and better. And all of a sudden, maybe they weren't getting to the quarterback in the first and second quarter, but now in the third and fourth quarter, you know, I'm not so sure he was looking at receivers or he was looking at our pass rush coming at him. You know what I mean? And that's tough for a quarterback. And then, you know, the back end of that, you know, we gave up a big play. But, you know, traditionally, too, with SBL, they're always kind of a pound run offense first. And, you know, they throw through a lot of vertical routes, a lot of fade routes, a lot of, you know, they tried to get us on a vertical route, and then he broke it into a slant. And, you know, Evan was there for great position and stuff. The kid just made a catch and was able to get down the field. But, you know, the one thing I was surprised was how many times they tried to throw deep all the time.
Right.
And, you know, and that's fine. But, you know, our front six and then, you know, coach started sending a blitz here and there that they weren't picking up. And, you know, we just kept their quarterback really off check. And, you know, if he's off his mark where he has to stand, you know, and has to move his feet, I mean, the throw is going to be somewhat inaccurate, you know what I mean,
yeah.
for a high school kid anyway. But, yeah, and then I really thought we really kept that running back in check, and that was the guy that I was kind of, you know, here's a guy that we got to make sure we get a swarm to, a bunch of tacklers to, and, you know, we did. I mean, nobody brought him down by himself. We always had white jerseys around him.
You mentioned one guy in there, and he's probably not going to be the guy that's going to get a lot of the credit on defense for you guys. Obviously, Evan Jayless, Alex Allen, Jaden Nelson had a great night for you on defense.
Yep.
But you mentioned Evan Pratt. He got targeted there early on a pass that the receiver beat him. Now, the quarterback didn't complete that pass, but I think he put it in his note, mind saying, hey, I can target Pratty there on that outside. Outside of that great catch the guy made in the third quarter where Evan probably beat himself up because he thought he could have knocked it down or whatever. How did you think Evan responded to kind of being the target of some really tough passes from their quarterback the rest of the night?
Well, I thought Evan did a great job because there were many other times that I thought they were going to try to target him and stuff, but he had him in a locked position, man-to-man. And you know what? In all reality, he played even the slant that the kid caught for a touchdown. He had played that all really well all night long. You know what I mean? And what Evan really had done for himself in that game, I think, is now when North watches that, the other corner on the other side better be ready because they're going to say, okay, look at this. They targeted this guy, 10 times? And he gave up one pass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you go with the odds and the percentages of, okay, what corner can cover and stuff. And, you know, it's one of those deals. He did such, he gave up that big play, but we call wipe it. We forget about it.
Yep.
Defensive backs, everybody, you can't worry about it. Go on to the next play. And, you know, I think, you know, besides that play, he had a great game. And so now North has to look at that and say, well, we're going to have to find some other targets.
Yeah, and I want to highlight a lot of these great performances for you guys. We're chatting with Ken Vigdahl, head coach of Lamar's Community Football. I didn't realize, we talked about him a bunch throughout the night, but I didn't realize just how many plays Jaden Nelson was on defensively. Now that I'm looking at some of the numbers, he had 10 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, half a sack. I mean, we talked about Evan Jayless, Alex Allen, what Aiden Hogue can bring you, Christian Cook, Mark Moten, all those guys. But how did the... How did Jaden Nelson open your eye there? Of course, he's one of your front six as well.
And I just think he had a great game last night. What I was really impressed with is how physical he is. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And sometimes you get in your first game, you're a junior, so you played JV ball last year. You probably got into some games, varsity games last year when we were ahead and stuff like that. But I'll tell you what, he was physical last night. I was impressed with his speed, his physical, his ability to read. You know what I mean? And that's how you end up with 10 tackles, right?
Right, it is. And really, that's a characteristic that I think the rest of your defense had, too, in a way. I mean, like you mentioned, guys swarming to the football. Everybody's there making a play. I mean, it was just a really physical game on defense last night.
And it really was. I mean, I thought we were extremely physical, and SBL's been noted for how physical they can be and stuff like that. And I think, as that first half went on and then that second half and we pin them deep, obviously, because Giovanni kicks it into the end zone. They start on their 20. They fumble. We pick it up. We score. And, I just think that was kind of the momentum changer of the game where we, you say you believe and you believe and you believe and we do and we believe in what we're doing in our kids and our coaches and stuff like that. But all of a sudden that goes to a whole new level when you get a turnover on defense and now everybody really believes and we know we can do this now. And it just, you play harder when you have the momentum. And so I thought we really took a step up in our energy and our momentum and they probably, as giving up 6 points on a fumble, probably we're sitting there going, okay, now it's 2 scores. Now this is a bigger deal than what it was when it was just a 1-score game.
And shoot, we can't forget, Jaden forced that fumble that Bo recovered for a touchdown. I almost completely forgot about that. So just, another feather in the cap of Jaden Nelson's performance last night for you guys. And we mentioned Giovanni now a couple of times, in the grand scheme of the score, 6 points, not too big a deal, but those kicks, Coach, came in very big spots. And obviously, when you have a kicker that can boot it in from 45 yards out, I mean, just, how much of a weapon is that for you when you can get to the 30-yard line and kind of feel confident that, okay, no matter what happens here, we can still come away with 3 pretty realistically?
Well, and that's what we just talked about a little bit earlier where we talked about, okay, now we're 1 score ahead. You add three to that, now you're two scores. You know what I mean? So even if, you score a touchdown and you go for two, that's eight, you're still behind. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so it's just one of those things that you know you have that in your back pocket. So, you know, a couple of times we played for, okay, let's get it to the center of the field so we know he can make that. And, you know, you knew both offenses last night in the first quarter were kind of struggling a little bit because the defenses were good. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's a tight game. It's a one-score thing, back and forth. Those were big momentum changers, you know. They were up by three, and then we went to 7-3. And then it was they scored, and then we were able to come back and kick a field goal. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Just all those times you get points is just huge. And, you know, like, you think about kickers previously in previous times, you know, you had to get it down to the 10,
right,
the 5. You know what I mean? And, yeah, no, we got to get it to the 30. You know what I mean? That's the 35. I mean, that's a whole lot of field position right there.
You've been coaching this game long enough. Have you been able to, you know, coach a kicker or even see a kicker like Giovanni Cabongo at the high school level?
No, and first of all, we don't coach him. He does his thing. He's got his coaches on the sideline. But as far as that, no, that this is probably one of the greatest kickers I've ever been around as a high school football coach. I mean, and it's not just the distance, it's the accuracy.
Right.
It's now putting it in the end zone. I mean, he's got a gift, and he really has taken advantage of it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you mentioned the accuracy because that 44-yarder, you were all the way on that right hash. Obviously, the 45-yarder,
yep,
you got closer to the middle of the field. But, yeah, what a performance by him. Again, we talked about it, offense, defense, special teams, everything was really clicking for you. So you start the year 1-0, and you move on to your next non-district game with Sioux City North. Now, obviously, plenty of positives we talked about, but, you know, there are some things you can always nitpick a game. So, you know, what's going to be the focus of practice this week to get better and, you know, hopefully have a just as good a game, if not better, against North next week?
Well, we put the ball on the ground a couple times offensively. We had some penalties that we need to clean up. We had some missed tackles, obviously, and those are things that happen in every game. But, you know, to be really successful, you have to minimize those as much as you humanly can. And so that's one thing we'll talk about. We'll get in, we'll watch film here this afternoon and tomorrow and really break down what we need to work on. And, you know, I'm sure up front we got a few false steps. Our backs, you know, had a few false steps and didn't stay on their tracks in their running and so forth. And so, you know, it's just all those things. But, you know, like we've talked about probably all preseason, it's not the big things we're worrying about now. It's the little details that we have to worry about.
Yeah, you can fine-tune things now. Now that you've got the big picture figured out, it's time to, you know, hone things in. So, great win, 41-13 over Sergeant Bluff Luton. Coach, we'll look forward to talking with you next week. Appreciate your time, and best of luck this week as you get ready for North.
Hey, thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. That's Ken Vigdahl, head coach of Lamar's Community Football. Jeremy Schindler, Galen Catholic head coach, joins us after this break here on KLEM.
Get your gear for next week's games at Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's. Hi, this is Lori. We have a great selection of Bulldog and Jay's gear that will fit everyone, baby through adult 3X sizes. We have things like onesies, short sleeve and long sleeve t-shirts, sweatshirts, shorts, stocking caps, baseball caps. Stop in and check out our new styles and grab a stadium chair and a water bottle branded with your favorite team. Watch the games in comfort and style. Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's.
Our well-child exams cover athletic physicals, but they are so much more. In addition to physical needs of a child, we also focus on their emotional and social health. Let's face it, being a kid can be hard. At Floyd Valley Clinics, our providers work with families as a team to keep pediatric patients healthy and safe. Learn more about Floyd Valley Clinics at floydvalley.org. Your community, your health, your life. Floyd Valley Healthcare.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we welcome you back to this first in-season edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner, brought to you by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Doors, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. Joining us now on the Coach's Corner is the head coach of Galen Catholic Football. That's Jeremy Schindler, the Jays. With a very tough loss last night at home. It was senior night as well. The Jays unfortunately fall against the Hinton Blackhawks by a score of 10-0. And coach, the first thing I think a lot of people notice is that zero on the board. What things just weren't going your way last night, specifically on offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of a few different things. In the first half, I felt like penalties really kind of put us behind the eight ball on several drives where we were moving the ball and we're just not designed to play behind the sticks. We got to stay on schedule. We got to have good first down, good second down, to where we either pick up the first down or it's third and short. You know, that's just the type of offense that we are this year. And when we stayed on schedule, we had quite a bit of success on offense. So it was getting behind the sticks through either, you know, a mistake on an assignment or a penalty. And those were really what affected us in the first half. I think in the second half, you know, we had the fumbled snap, just didn't quite get back to the quarterback in the pistol formation. And then the interception was kind of, you know, time's running out and we're trying to make a play. So that was really kind of what hampered us. You know, a couple turnovers in the second half and then mistakes with penalties in the first half that really hampered drives.
Yeah, well, and coach, too, I was, you know, people were keeping me informed of the game, and obviously it sounded like you guys had a really good chance to score there late in that second quarter, but came up just a bit short. Just how tough is it when you do everything right, you stay on schedule, you're moving downfield, and then it doesn't, you know, turn into 6 points? I mean, just how tough is that for a team to bounce back from?
Yeah, when you get stopped inside the five twice, I mean, that's tough. And it's something we're going to have to learn from. We got to be better in the red zone and just execute. And it's, you know, we had great film this morning, and we were able to show the kids, you know, hey, man, if you stay on your block for an extra second, you know, our running back walks in the end zone instead of getting stopped, you know, short. So great learning experience for us. And that's what we told the guys. You know, the biggest improvement you see in football teams is from week one to week two. So I thought we improved greatly from the scrimmage offensively, and we need to take an even bigger jump going into next week.
You know, Coach, one thing you told me last week on this show was just having the guys be able to you know, treat a game like a game. You know, it's a big atmosphere. Get excited, you know, pumped up, all these kind of things. What was the energy level like on your sideline for the game?
Yeah, I thought it was good. When things were going good, I thought our energy level was great. Those penalties,
yeah,
the turnovers, momentum killers, that really got us. And we just have to, you know, Coach Ellenzone does a really good job of talking, you know, in football, the highs are going to be really high, and there are going to be lows. You just can't let the lows last very long, and you can't let the lows get too low. You want the highs to be high, though, because you got to ride that momentum, and that's really crucial when talking about energy level of teams. And I think it's something we were better than we were in the scrimmage, and we just have to continue to keep building on that.
I was going to say, is it one of those things where, you know, say you commit a penalty, especially in week one, you just kind of have to tell the kid, like, hey, you know, this is what you did. Don't sweat it. We'll take the 5 yards now. Just, you know, kind of, you know, wipe it away. Or what do you have to do when it comes to things like that could be low lows, so that you make sure they know what they did wrong, but not to, you know, harp on it for five plays?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you have to do is you got to have a short memory. You have to be able to you make a mistake and then you just got to flush it. That's the thing with football is you have to be able to, whether you're playing corner or line. One kid I think who did a really good job of that last night, in my opinion, was Cole McCarty.
Yep.
If you make a mistake, you can't let it affect your effort on the next play. And when you see that, it's because most of the time it's because the kid is thinking about the previous play. With Cole, I noticed, yeah, there were times he made mistakes. He was far from perfect, but I noticed his effort never waned.
And there were other guys on the team. I just pointed out Cole, but we had other guys who they're able to flush it. We just need to make sure that we get everybody to that level where they flush the mistake and they move on to the next play and they're ready to make a play for us.
Yeah, well, I did want to talk about Cole with you a little bit because it's not very often you have a night like he did, which was tough offensively, and then you turn around, especially for a tough night at the quarterback position, and then he turn around defensively and lead the team in tackles with 8. I mean, it just kind of helps solidify the point that if a drive didn't go his way, you'd turn the ball over on downs, whatever. Okay, I'm just going to do my part on the defensive side to make sure Hinton doesn't move down the field.
Yeah, the kid just plays football. He's probably one of the most optimistic kids I've ever met, and that really helps in terms of his attitude on the football field. He's always thinking positively. You know, he doesn't let that doubt, that self-doubt creep into his mind, and he's just going to move on to the next play. And that really helps in the game of football. You got to have a short memory. You're going to make mistakes, especially early in the year. You just got to move forward.
We're talking Galen Catholic football with the head coach of the Jays, Jeremy Schindler, here on the KLEM Coach's Corner. A 10-0 loss to Hinton last night. We've talked about some of the offensive struggles for you guys, but obviously Cale Pearson was having a great night for you, as we kind of expected he would, to the tune of over 100 yards on the ground. What kind of things did you see from him in his first game of his junior year? The running back position's now solely his, that showed he was ready for the moment.
Well, I think the biggest thing with Cale last night was early in the game he was getting too close to his blockers and wasn't really helping set up his blockers. And so we kind of made a little adjustment with him at halftime, and you just got to be slow down just a little bit behind the line of scrimmage and be able to run with your shoulders square and see that cutback. And I thought in the second half he ran hard. He ran hard all night, but he really started to understand, all right, patience behind the line of scrimmage. And now when I see the hole, then I attack it. And I thought he did a really good job of adjusting as the game went on, and he's only going to get more comfortable as the season goes on. You know, running back's a thing where you might run one way in practice because the varsity offensive line can blow the JV offensive line off the ball. But in a game, in a varsity game on Friday nights, when your blockers might need a second or two to hold up, you need to be a little more patient behind the line of scrimmage. And he did a really good job of making that adjustment last night.
Well, and also because I know you talked with me a few times about the fact that he got bigger, he got stronger, but he's still a little scat back, and he kind of relies on his speed. I mean, that part of a small, speedy running back to be able to be patient, and then once that hole opens up is huge because – you know, there's if that hole is full of a linebacker, he's not going to be a power back to be able to run over a guy like that most of the time anyway.
Yeah, his acceleration is outstanding. And so for him to be able to get through the hole, he does a really good job with that. But again, even for a kid that's, 160, 165 pounds, he finishes runs really well.
Right.
And so to be able to do that, it just shows his level of toughness.
Jeremy Schindler with us, head coach of Galen Catholic football. We talked to offense. You give up 10 points on the defensive side, and you're pretty content with that most nights, I would say. And, outside of, a couple of, runs and things like that, I mean, just your defense looked like it was pretty stout last night. What caught your eye?
Yeah, I thought up the middle. I thought Cole McCarty in the middle linebacker spot, and then Dane Lehman and Will Harpinaugh at the defensive tackle spots had excellent nights on the defensive side of the ball. Thought those three really, really played well. I think there's some areas. Sometimes our linebackers were creeping into the line a little too much. Secondary, we fell asleep a couple times, and they were able to get a pass or two. But overall, I was very pleased with the defensive effort. Obviously, we would like to take the ball away a couple times, but give Hinton credit. You know, they had that lead, and they weren't going to put the ball up in the air too much more. We actually almost picked a couple of them off, and so they Coach Hardison, he's a smart coach. He understood what kind of game was going on, and they just tried to keep the ball away from us. But overall, defensively, I think it was a pretty good night, a good start. There's definitely some things we can work on to get better at, but pretty pleased with the effort defensively.
Yeah, what kind of things were they when they ran the football? What were they running at you? Because I mean, it's not very often that a quarterback not only leads their team in rushing yards, but he also leads them in total rushing attempts in the likes of Gabe Anderson.
Yeah, they were doing some midline stuff with our defensive tackles, and then some QB power stuff, and that was really he did a really good job. Anderson did on their midline series, really sucked our defenders in, and then was able to pull the ball at the last second a couple of times. That's how they got in for the touchdown. Sure. Pull the ball at the last second and get across the goal line. He understands the concept really well. You could tell that they'd rep that a lot. So that was really what the QB game run game was for them.
Well, yeah, a tough loss, but thankfully this is not a district game anymore, so it doesn't hinder your district record, and you got a chance to bounce back again next week in Marcus with a matchup against MMCRU. Just coach, tell me what's practice going to focus on here this week? What are some of the things that you really have to hone in on, fine tune, work on to make sure you come away with a victory when you head to Marcus next week?
You know, it's funny. It's we're not making big wholesale changes. We're not going to panic as a coaching staff.
Right.
Going over the film, there was several times where we're one block away. I mean, one block away from springing a 60-yard touchdown run. Cale Pearson gets dragged down by the back of his jersey. You know, and if the kid's not 6'2" and got long arms, he doesn't even grab it. So we're one block away several times last night. It's just repetition. And now it's just getting better at the fundamentals. Staying on our blocks longer. Driving people off the ball. Tackling on defense. You know, all those little things that win games. That's what we have to work on this next week.
Well, and the nice thing, too, is it is, like you say, it's not a wholesale, we got to implement a new offense or something like that. These are very fixable changes that, you know, take a practice and a half, kind of clean up all the messes, and then you can start, all right, well, now we can start focusing things on MMCRU and figuring out what the Royals do well.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is an offense. It's going to get better as the year goes on. As we get crisper with our ball handling skills between our quarterback and backs, it's going to be tougher to stop. And as our linemen play themselves into game shape, it's going to be tough to stop eventually. So we're just going to stay the course and get better at the little things.
Absolutely. You know, you'll get them better and have them ready to go. That's going to be our contest on KLEM coming up next week. So we'll be chatting, I'm sure, a lot more throughout the week with you. We appreciate your time here this week, Coach, and best of luck as you look for win number one next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. That's Jeremy Schindler. He's the head coach of Galen Catholic football. When we come back, we'll be joined by Kingsley Pearson head coach Dean Norris talking about the Panthers' first win as an 11-man program since 2009. That's coming up after this break here on KLEM.
The pursuit of true health. That's the goal of Dr. Jared Langle of True Health Chiropractic Lamar's, serving the community with a holistic approach to chiropractic, guiding patients to mindful movement and proper nutrition, accepting your insurance. True Health Chiropractic, located just off Business Highway 75 South Lamar's, across from Four Brothers. Discover wellness. Discover True Health Chiropractic.
Are you looking for local and dependable overhead door sales and service? Hi, my name is Adam, owner of Chapman Overhead Doors. We are excited to bring over 30 years of experience from the Spencer area to Lamar's and surrounding communities. Chapman Overhead Doors services all makes and models of commercial and residential garage doors. We sell only the highest quality Midland doors. Call Chapman Overhead Doors for a free quote today, 541-1179. That's 541-1179.
Corner live on 1410 AM 96.9 FM KLEM.
We welcome you back to the KLEM Coaches Corner here on KLEM Radio and online at KLEM1410.com. Daniel Versteg with you. Pleased to be joined now by the head coach of the Kingsley Pearson football team, the 1-0 Kingsley Pearson football team. That is Dean Norris. The Panthers beat Alta Aurelia last night by a final score of 27-7, their first game back in 11-man football. Just first of all, coach, a home game, first game just kind of as this new look Kingsley Pearson football team. What was just kind of the experience around game night for you guys last night?
Oh, it was very good. I mean, the crowd was, I think they wanted 11 man all along over there, so it worked out really well. And River Valley, we share with River Valley, and mm-hmm. they brought a pretty good crowd too, so that was a huge advantage for us. We had a good home field crowd, and the kids made, we had a scrimmage the week before, and that really helped kind of iron out things out for us a little bit too.
Yeah, so you guys obviously don't go in blind on yourselves that way with seeing your guys in the scrimmage. But, just looking at how things got going, Alta really got on the board first. Of course, the Panthers won it 27-7. Should probably mention that as well. Alta got going first, but you guys were able to get things going. I guess, was it kind of one of those, like, you just kind of had to get the guys back up to game speed in a way?
It seemed like it. I mean, we moved the ball between the 20s the first half and just could never punch it in. So we left a lot of points on, I felt like, in the first half. And then we were able to punch it in the second half a little bit more. I mean, there was a lot of cramping and that stuff going on both sides. It was a hot night.
Right.
But, having Bo Goodwin on your team really helps out a lot. He's a really special player. And our offensive line did a nice job of giving him time tonight, too. And finally, some of those plays broke that we weren't breaking in the first half.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. I mean, you guys get down early, 7-0, and then you tie it up in the halftime break at 7-7. Just what did you see about the guys when it came to their resiliency and the fact that while you guys were moving the ball outside of the red zone, fine, but not getting the results you wanted. How much resiliency and how much determination did you see out of the guys last night?
Oh, I'm incredibly proud of them. I mean, like I said, our depth was down a little because we've got four or five kids out injured, so especially up on the line. So those kids played a lot of snaps tonight and hung in there. At halftime, they were pretty upset that they didn't have the lead and, where we were at being tied. So I felt like we probably were going to have a pretty good second half. And the defense played lights out all night. They just did a fabulous job of turning them over two or three times and had several three and outs and played a really, really good game on the defensive side.
Well, gosh, anytime you can turn the ball over, coach. We always talk with football coaches, I feel like, about mistakes, and whether that's penalties, turnovers, things like that. Just the fact you guys were able to force mistake defensive end, number one, and then number two, be able to capitalize on that, I guess, just, how nice was that to see?
Oh, that was very good. And we had limited penalties, which in a first game doesn't always happen. So those are two pretty big keys for us. I mean, I'm just so proud of the kids for, like I say, they just kept in there battling, and eventually it busted through for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they scored early on, like an 85-yard, where we blew an assignment, and then we blew a couple tackles. Other than that, the defense played lights out. I mean, they really shut them down.
Yeah, and I guess, while you gave up the one big play, and it shows on the scoreboard. I mean, it just consistency. I mean, how consistent was your defense to just saying, "Hey, we're gonna put you on a spot on the field, and you're not gonna move." It seems like
right. Well, we put a lot of pressure. We bring a lot of pressure, so our DBs are on an island a lot of the time, and they really held up for the most part, really, really well tonight. So it was a good team win because we played a lot of. I mean, we played a couple freshmen, got some minutes tonight. We played just about every kid on the bench at some point in time. So that bodes well for the future as well.
Absolutely. And then, you look at the second half and you say things started breaking through. You mentioned the offensive line, obviously giving Bo some time, and he had three touchdown passes for you. Just what kind of things changed? Was it kind of just a halftime adjustment? What kind of things had to change offensively for you to then succeed in the red zone and finally put points on the board?
Well, Nate Utash runs the offense, and he made a lot of adjustments with the routes, made them a little shorter and quicker you know, get the balls to kids in space. And like Tyler Cook made a really nice play in the open field and busted one. And then Wyatt Huizenga, tight end, caught one down the middle of the field and made a nice play on it as well. So the kids made plays, but no, Nate called a good game for us on the offensive side.
We're talking to Dean Norris, the head coach of Kingsley Pearson football. You obviously said it's good to have Bo Goodwin on your team, and I think a lot of teams around Northwest Iowa would love to have not only one Bo Goodwin, but probably 11 of them. How did you see his leadership show out in week one when you're tied at the half, and then you come out and respond with 20 points in the second half?
Oh, the kid just makes plays, you know. I mean, on both sides of the ball. He keeps plays alive with his feet, you know, and obviously, and he throws the ball really well. And he had two interceptions on the defensive side, so.
Wow.
I'm glad he plays for the black for us tonight, anyhow.
No kidding. Touchdowns through the air, two interceptions on the defensive side. It's got to feel like he probably can anything when he's out on the field for you.
Oh, certainly. Well, the ball he intercepted, he ran back right to the goal line. I mean, he got knocked out right at the goal line, so he almost had a pick six on top of everything else. So,
wow.
Yeah, he's a special player.
Very special. And
we try to stay out of his way and just let him be him.
Yeah, understandably so. When he does his thing, he does really good for you. So a 27-7 victory over Alta Aurelia, a lot of great things that you guys were able to do in the ball game, but coach, obviously it's week one. You know that you're not a perfect football. Nobody's a perfect football team, but especially not in week one. Just kind of fill me in. What kind of things were you thinking? Okay, that's going to be addressed Monday morning. That's going to be addressed Monday morning. You know, and maybe pointed out in the film session as well.
We had a couple coverage busts on the defense. You know, I run the defense, so I'm more aware of what's going on over there. We had a couple coverage busts. We dropped a handful of balls, you know, hurt us. And there were still some penalties, not as many as you maybe would expect in the first game, but, you know, those are always drive killers as well. So, and, you know, just, there's always things to improve upon.
Right. When it comes to the coverage stuff, though, is it just kind of one of those you need a better first step? Was it just kind of losing your man in the shuffle of things? What kind of coverage issues was it?
Well, we were in zone, and, you know, we had nobody take the deep on a couple of occasions. I mean, we got away with it because the pressure was all right, but it was confusing. We two kids went in the flat and things like that. It just can't happen.
Well, goodness, the pressure. I mean, talk about your front six, front seven, however many guys you stick up in the box there, and the fact that yeah, they can, you know, really really make a ton of plays for you on the defensive side.
Yeah, the two Kraft boys really had a good game on the interior for us. And Tyler Cook and the Sockna kid on the outside, you know, we send our outside backers a lot of the time, and they both made a couple sacks tonight. You know, that's a big part of what we do. We're not real, real big, so we've got to bring pressure from all over the place.
Well, it sounded like you did that, and obviously a 27-7 victory over Alta Aurelia. Now you turn your attention to a Logan Magnolia squad here next week, a team that has had a ton of success. They made the playoffs a bunch, things like that. It'll be a district contest for you guys, so that's going to be fun as well. What do you need to focus? What are some of the main things that are going to be worked on in practice here this week to sharpen you guys up even more for a tough matchup next week?
Well, the script gets flipped on us a little bit because they play pretty power-based. You know, they run some wishbone and power eye where Alta spread the ball around. But so we'll have to make a lot of adjustments on defense as far as walking the safeties up and some of those sort of things to stop their power game. You know, their offensive tackle is a Division I recruit, so it'll be really interesting to see what they do with him and how we can counter that. So now that's we'll enjoy the weekend. And like you say, Monday will be a whole new week to prepare.
Absolutely, yeah. That tackle they've got is pretty good as well. So yeah, you'll have your hands full. But one thing we know for sure, you had them ready this week. You're going to have them ready next week. Should be a great contest. Coach, we'll let you go. We appreciate your time. Congrats on going 1-0 last night. And we'll hopefully chat down the road. All right.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. That is Dean Norris, the head coach of Kingsley Pearson football, joining us here on the KLEM Coach's Corner. We're back with more after this on KLEM.
Put Nohava on the job and on your buildings. Nohava Construction doesn't just offer products to customers, they offer solutions. Their partnership with Duralast Roofing Incorporated allows them to deliver one of the most durable, maintenance-free, and high-performing roof systems in the industry. To top it off, Nohava Construction has been named an elite roofing specialist, which means your warranty is automatically guaranteed with any Nohava installation. Nohava Construction in Lamar's.
Specializing in EPS buildings and homes, new construction, and remodeling, Sitzman Construction has been doing business in the Lamar's area for 15 years. They're your area expert in EPS solid core shops and homes. Jeremy and his crew would love to come out and give you a quote on your post-frame agricultural building, new home construction, or even your home remodeling project. At Sitzman Construction, quality and customer satisfaction are the focus on the job. Call Jeremy today at 546-4263 and start building with the best. Because at Sitzman Construction, they satisfy your construction needs.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we welcome you back to this edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner, wrapping up another hour right here on KLEM Radio and online at KLEM1410.com. The Coach's Corner each and every Saturday throughout the high school football season is brought to you by Nohava Construction, Chapman Overhead Door, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, True Health Chiropractic, and Floyd Valley Healthcare. My thanks to Ken Vigdahl, Jeremy Schindler, and Dean Norris, the head coaches at Lamar's Community, Galen Catholic, and Kingsley Pearson for their time in chatting with you all here this weekend and giving you the insight on their football programs after wins for KP and for Lamar's Community and a loss for Galen Catholic. We did have a couple more wins around Plymouth County and the likes of Remsen St. Mary's. Of course, Hinton beat Galen Catholic. That's a win for the area at least. And an opportunity this coming week for all of our area teams to try and get better. Of course, the game that's going to take place here in town next week is going to be Sioux City North and Lamar's. That's a non-district contest. Second of four non-district games for the Bulldogs. Then going down into Class 1A, the Hinton Blackhawks are going to be at 6th-ranked Western Christian. The Wolfpack ranked number 6 this week, but could be going up a little bit more. They beat Boyden Hall Rock Valley pretty sound last night. So going to be a tough test for the Blackhawks on the road at A.R. Hesla Field. Can we talk about this with Dean Norris? Kingsley Pearson is hosting Logan Magnolia. Yeah, that offensive tackle, by the way, that's Grant Bricks. He right now on multiple different sites and sources is the number one ranked college recruit in the entire state of Iowa, regardless of position. So, yeah, the Panthers are going to have their hands full with the Logan Magnolia Panthers. I'm going to bet on the Panthers next week. I think that's a safe bet. So Kingsley Pearson's got that going for them. Akron Westfield, they are hosting Sibley Ocheden next week, so a good opportunity for Coach Seaver to get his first win as the head coach of the Westerners and do it in district play. We hope that can happen for Akron Westfield. Our contest that we're going to bring you on KLEM Radio next week is Galen Catholic at MMCRU. You can listen to that game here on air online, or you can watch the game online on the KLEM Radio YouTube channel. That's going to be the first of many football broadcasts we bring you on our KLEM Radio YouTube channel. And then an 8-player, it's going to be 8th-ranked Remsen St. Mary's at Siouxland Christian. Hopefully the Hawks can jump up just a little bit in the rankings, maybe to number 7 or number 6 after their 28-7 victory over Harris Lake Park. And some of those teams did not have great nights last night. Siouxland Christian lost to GTRA 48-8. Sibley Ocheden lost to Sheldon 26-6. Let's see, Logan Magnolia beat Missouri Valley 29-8. Western Christian, they took down Boyden Hall Rock Valley 27-6. And Sioux City North lost to South Sioux City last night 46-37. So those are some of the upcoming opponents around Plymouth County, how they did last week. Make sure you, last night I should say, make sure you check out the KLEM website, KLEM1410.com, for news and notes, sports news, and our sports schedules. We've got our sports scores. Your sports home is at KLEM1410.com. Speaking of our sports coverage, of course, we just mentioned Galen Catholic and MMCRU Friday night, but our volleyball schedule begins coming up on Thursday night, a Missouri River Conference volleyball match. Lamar's hosting Sergeant Bluff Luton. The Bulldogs were able to get the Warriors last year. Sergeant Bluff Luton's been a really good team the last few years, so Lamar's, of course, reloading a little bit, losing some seniors from last year, but Coach Jessica Wallace going to have them ready to go as she does here as the head coach of the Bulldogs. That's going to be coming up 7 o'clock on Thursday night. You can listen to every dig, spike, serve, and much more on our on air here at KLEM, 1410 AM and 96.9 FM. Well, that's going to do it for another edition of the Coach's Corner. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks to all of our coaches for joining us. For all of us at KLEM Radio and for KLEM Sports, I'm Daniel Versteeg. So long, thanks for listening to this edition of the Coach's Corner right here on KLEM Radio. Have a great weekend.